Can we read this together? This is something that Jesus said to his followers. Let's read it. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Let's read that again. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You want to guess what the most common commandment in the Bible is? I've given you a clue. Don't be afraid. Who said that? Ha ha! Well done. Don't be afraid. 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 If I did, how many don't be afraid do you think you could get in a minute? I don't know, 20? 21. That's an awkward number, Richard. So if I could say 21 don't be afraids for a minute, I'd be here about 15 minutes just saying don't be afraid the number of times it's said in the scriptures. Just so many passages saying fear not, don't be afraid. Okay, so here's the question. It's time to fess up. What do you call it when you're afraid of something and you keep being afraid of it? Fear, okay. Anyone heard of a phobia? Okay. So here's the question. What are you afraid of? Spiders. And what's that called? Arachnophobia. Who here is afraid of spiders? Ah, you big fearty cat, so am I. Who's had a tarantula crawl over their hand? You're a different species. Not a herd of wild horses would have me having a big hairy spider crawling over my hand. Thank you very much. So, who here runs out the room screaming when there's a big spider in the house? Okay? And who goes to get it and can hold it in their hands? Great, I'm just taking a note. Thank you. Good. Putting that in my back pocket. Does anybody have any other phobias? Snakes, mice. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Now, has anybody got their mobile phone? I will let you use your mobile phone for this because you'd have to be quick at touch typing to be able to do this. So you are permitted, which you're not allowed to do on Mastermind University of Challenger. I want to be, but it's unlikely that I ever will be a millionaire. Right, here we go. Spectrophobia. What's spectrophobia a fear of? Okay, we've got some. What do you think? Ghosts, I like that. It's not, but that's a good one. James Bond, yeah. Hey, there we go. Guess what? It's not that. Is there any up the back? Spectacles. Ah, somebody's got their mobile phone. Spectrophobia is a fear of mirrors. There are certain members of our family who definitely do not have that fear. Oh, no. So if you know anybody who doesn't take selfies, they might have spectrophobia. There you go. By the way, if any of you do suffer from any of these, we're not making fun, I promise. Okay? So, fear of mirrors. So hole of mirrors might be a bit tricky. Should we try another one? Philemophobia. Philemophobia. What do you think philemophobia is? Kissing? You have got to be kidding me. Who's afraid of kissing? Yay! Philemophobia is the fear of kissing. There you go. I don't know if Francophilemophobia is fear of a certain sort of kissing, but there you go. Fear of kissing. Here's the next one. Omphalophobia. What do you think that might be? Is it a fear of elephants? That would be good. Omphalophobia is a fear of navels. There you go. A fear of belly buttons. You're all going, really? I do not know if there are subgenres of this for a fear of innies or outies. Next up. Lacanophobia. Lacanophobia, what's that a fear of? It's a fear of vegetables. Now, who here reckons they might have lacanophobia? Where's my children? Fear of vegetables. Right, next up. Ecclesiophobia. You might be able to guess this, but if you do have it, you're unlikely to be here. Fear of churches. I kid you not. You wonder who makes these up. Right, okay. Now this is an interesting one. Zoogerphobia. A lot of men have this. Zoogerphobia is a fear of vacuum cleaners. Okay, let's try another one. Nomophobia. Oh, lots of people here would have nomophobia. However, if you're a 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s child, you would laugh in the face of nomophobia. For nomophobia is? It is the fear of being out of mobile phone contact. Oh, how did we manage? All right. Here's another one. Ablutophobia. A lot of boys have this. Ablutions. Yes. I'm looking at you, you manky lot. Yep. Mama Burns is looking at baby Burns. Ablutophobia is a fear of washing or being washed. Osmophobia is a fear of the Osmonds. Brilliant, thank you. Absolutely. Crazy horses, yep, that sends you running. Fear of smells. Oh, here we go, here's one. Ephibophobia. Ephibophobia is a fear of teenagers. If you're a teenager, you can go, just now, we'll find out. Now, let me just run you through this. Okay, now put your mobile phones down. Put them down. Okay. This is hippopotamus monstrous quiped aleophobia. Hippopotamus monstrous quiped aleophobia is the fear of long words. Is anybody afraid of long words? Okay. So there's lots of different things that we can be afraid of. Your attention, please. The interactive part of this talk is now finished, and you'll get to your lunch quicker if you let me speak. So Woodbine Willie was an extraordinary man. He went without a weapon into no man's land. Does everybody know what no man's land is? No man's land in the First World War or in any war is the strip of land between the two opposing forces. It is an incredibly dangerous place to be. One, because the enemy may shoot you. Two, because your own people might be suspicious that you're an enemy and shoot you too. There'll be mines and barbed wire in the First World War, unexploded shells. You may, if you dive into a shell hole for cover, find that there's somebody else there from the opposing team. All those of you who've seen All Quiet on the Western Front. So no man's land was a dangerous place to operate. And he went in there without a weapon. And he pulled out wounded men time and time again. Not just wounded Allied servicemen, but also wounded enemy. So there are people who are descended from people that Woodbine Willie pulled out of a shell hole in this country and in Germany and wherever else in the old Austro-Hungarian Empire. It's quite a thought, isn't it? I marvel at the courage this guy had. But he also saw things. He went in quite enthusiastic about the war. He thought, this was a good thing. He came out the far end of the war thinking it was a bad thing. And he did get a military cross, which is really tricky to do unless you're shooting at people. And he served and served and served and served throughout the war. Passing out cigarettes. It's probably worth telling you that back in the day, cigarettes, we didn't know that cigarettes were bad for you. In fact, some people here will remember when Boots sold branded cigarettes for curing asthma. Oops. You remember those? Woodbines were particularly strong cigarettes. But they comforted people who were dying, and Woodbine Willie would go up to them. What sort of things do you think you'd be afraid of if you're in no man's land? Does anybody know what the fear of being shot is called? Perfectly reasonable. That's what it's called. Who would put themselves in that position where they could lose their own life? And he wasn't a single guy. He had a wife and a child at home. A son. Just extraordinary the courage that took. And yet, many of the people who went before us had that kind of courage. And if the time came, many of us would have that kind of courage. None of us really know until we get in the thick of it. Woodbine Willie was a remarkable man. I want to tell you about another remarkable man who operates in very dangerous situations too. This guy, this very eccentric looking guy in his bow tie and funny specs, is the man who invited ISIS to dinner. I mentioned him outdoors. I think Alistair maybe mentioned him in here. This is Andrew White. Now, in my church, you can only really be a minister. But in other churches, you can get promoted up through the ranks. And so he's a canon these days, which is kind of appropriate considering what he does. This is Canon Andrew White, who is the vicar of Baghdad. He runs a church, St. George's, I believe it's called, in Baghdad. He has seen many of the people who've come to faith through that church killed. Many of them have left. It was an enormous church at one point. And with the arrival of ISIS, awful things have been happening to Christians in Iraq and to many other people, to other Muslims. For ISIS is a radical, nasty, nasty form of Sunni Islam. So they don't like Shias either. And they don't like all sorts of other wee groups of different people who believe different from them. And faced with the increasing threat of ISIS, threats on the people who are going to his congregation, he invited the leadership of ISIS to dinner. Can you imagine doing that? And think of all the atrocities that these people have done. If you don't know about it, that's no bad thing. He invited them to dinner. Do you know what they did in return? They said, yeah, we'll come, but if we come, we'll chop your head off. So he decided not to pursue that. And in response to the good work he's doing, ISIS, I heard someone quote this, I thought this was rubbish, so I had a look at it. There is a bounty of £100 million on this man's head. Now, I wouldn't like to be the person that tried to prize £100 million from ISIS. I mean, that maybe take... That's a different sort of courage and evil, but he's a marked man. He doesn't carry a weapon. He does do his pastoral visiting with a flak jacket on, and the largest concentration of his congregation are now in Jordan as refugees. In fact, he was being interviewed the other day, and he said the largest grouping of Iraqi Christians in the world is now in Chicago, and there used to be 1.5 million of them in Iraq itself. He's a very brave man. He used to be a vicar in Jerusalem and has met with all sorts of groups. He's been kidnapped. At one point, he said he found himself in a room full of fingers and toes that had been cut off of the previous occupants of the room. And he talked his way out, as he does. Andrew White is a remarkable man who brings the love of Jesus in places where you just would not believe it would happen. I'll tell you, the other remarkable person is his wife, who lives near Cambridge. They're two boys. So there's Andrew White. Can you imagine, what would you be afraid of if you were talking to people who said, well, they'll come to dinner, but they'll kill you? My goodness me, what courage that man has. And here's the scripture that Jesus gave us, that he says to all of those who follow him, all those who trust him, because this life is full of many fears, everything from spiders to fears that really are rational. The fear of hardship or pain or suffering, of death or destruction or disease. And Jesus, knowing that he was about to die, said to his friends this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and afraid. Jesus is saying here, the peace the world gives is just the lack of conflict. It's just the lack of conflict. The peace that Jesus brings will remake the world. And we who hope in Jesus have a great hope that through the power of the cross, this world gets remade. And it gets remade with no suffering, sickness, death, no sorrow, no breakdown of relationship, no pain, no suffering. That's what Jesus can do. And as we allow him to work in our lives and in our communities, he does that there too. Even though bad things still happen, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And I don't know what your life's like at the moment. You may be having a ball at the moment. You might be having a great time. But you might be going through some pretty tough stuff. I guarantee you there are people here who are facing difficulties with illness in their family, or breakdown of a marriage, or bullying at school, or difficulties with work, or difficulties with things they're addicted to. Whatever it may be, you're going to be facing trouble. And this is what Jesus says to you. He says, don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you. I'll give you my peace. And he will be closer to you than the air you breathe, even though you don't know it. And for any one of us, in any one of our life circumstances, Jesus is never more than a prayer away. He loves every single one of us. And it was the knowledge of that love that gave Woodbine Willie the courage to go into no man's land again and again and again, to minister to people who were suffering and dying again and again, to pull out the wounded again and again. And it is that courage that gives Andrew White the confidence to invite ISIS for tea, though perhaps the good judgment not to follow through on that when they threatened to kill him instead of eating his chicken and chips. And that gift's available for every one of us. And I'd encourage you to put your trust in him. I would encourage you to live your life by his word. And I'd encourage you, if you don't know much, find out more. Because I'll tell you, there's loads of people in Gorebridge are getting to know Jesus for the first time. And they're liking what they find. Amen? Amen.